We're in the middle of a three-week series from the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus is doing this discourse, teaching his apostles that he's going to send out on mission how to handle what they're going to encounter. And they're going to encounter persecution. But today he suggests that I'm sending you as myself. Whoever receives you receives me. In other words, they are an extension of his very self. They're not out there on their own, but they're in his name. And this is the mission of the church from then until now, until the end, that we are Christ, that the mission, the journey that we're on is not really our own, but we are participating in the journey, in the mission of Christ to save the world. And so in the same way that Jesus gave himself completely to that project, his whole life was about nothing else, all the way to the cross, giving himself completely for our salvation, he expects nothing less of us than that we make this the project of our lives, that there's nothing that is more important than this. Father or mother, son or daughter, nothing comes in the way of this. This is the project. This is the mission of the Christian life. Now, this is largely about hospitality. And hospitality works two different ways, at least. But in the readings today, it works two different ways. So the first reading is from about the prophet Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, who was the successor of Elijah. So Elisha is... he has given his life to this project. There is nothing in front of this. His whole being is about this. So that's the hospitality that he extends his life. This couple of some means, they recognize the gift that he's giving. They appreciate it. And so they offer him a room. Whenever you're coming through, stay the night with us. And so they set up a room specially for him. They outfit it, and so whenever he's passing through that town, he stays the night. So they're offering hospitality to him. And then he, in turn, asks the servant, is there something I can do for her? And the servant says, well, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is getting on in age. And so one time when he's visiting there, he tells her, this time when I come back next year, you're going to be fondling a son. So the hospitality is extended, received, and returned, and then returned again. Okay, this is how it works in our lives. Part of the Christian life is recognizing the great hospitable gift that Christ has done, namely his life, sharing our lives, taking on our human nature, sharing everything that's human, taking the last place, the lowest place, all the way to the cross. And you have to, in order to be Christian, you have to first of all be able to recognize the hospitality that Christ has shown to you. In that town, in Elisha's time, there was only that one couple that seemed to recognize that. So they're blessed because they were able to recognize that, and then they returned the gift. So how do we return the gift? Well, we do it, first of all, liturgically. And the way this works out in the liturgy is really nice, I think. This is the memorial of his gift, of his hospitality to us. It's the memorial of the cross. We remember here what he did at Calvary and at the Last Supper, the complete offering of himself for our salvation out of love. And he invites us. This is the hospitality of it. In his resurrection, he's not saying, I'm risen from the dead and you can't be. He's beckoning us. You rise from the dead too. First learn how to die, but learn how to die in the hope that you're going to rise again. Now, that second reading, Paul tells the Romans that exact same thing. Are you not aware that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? And we've been baptized into his death so that we might also share in his resurrection. So death is not the end of the story. Death is not a hopeless, despairing kind of thing. It's not a resignation about something that happens to everybody and we hate it, but we just have to resolve that we're going to do it. No, we face into it with a certain hope, knowing that resurrection follows death. And so, again in the liturgy, we pass by the font in which we were baptized into his death. And we remind ourselves every time we pass by that, and of course when there's water in it, we even sign ourselves in that. We renew the dying that we did in baptism. But every time we pass through these doors and pass that font, we are dying to ourselves so that we can rise to the others. We let go of our individuality. We leave our individuality at the door so that we might become the body of Christ in here. And of course, then we move to the altar, and this is an altar of sacrifice. It's the memory of his death, and we are invited into that death. And so the completion of baptism is Eucharist, in which we actually spiritually lay our lives on the altar along with him and offer ourselves up as a pleasing fragrance to the Father. And then we're sent out. Every time we are dismissed from Mass, we are sent out just like those apostles on their missionary journey. Our missionary journey begins at the doors. And how that works out in each of our lives, what we're to say, what we're to do, we don't really worry about that too much. We live in hope. We live in the confidence that the Holy Spirit is going to give us the words to say, going to give us the actions to do. Despite the fact that life can be difficult and filled with failure and misgivings and all that kind of stuff, we live our lives in trust and in hope that God is with us and that the Spirit is going to advise us. He's going to be our advocate. He's going to help us through whatever decisions, whatever words we need to make or to say. It will be given to us by the Holy Spirit. And then finally, this hospitality that we receive and we give back to God, and then we receive something back, namely communion, his very body and blood. So it goes one way, back, and then back again. It's all about the cross. Jesus says in that gospel passage, anyone who is not willing to take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You have to lose yourself. In the Trinity, they're always losing themselves to the others. And that's our life too. And it's liturgical. On the front of the cathedral in Salina, there is this bas-relief of a liturgical procession. And so the bishop is carrying this enormous cross, and they're all moving toward the door on their way into the church. And the bishop is shouldering this big cross, but everybody in the diocese, and there are old and young and farmers and businessmen and, you know, just this walk of life, and everybody has a hand on the cross. They're all helping the bishop carry it. And above that are the words, anyone who is not willing to take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. This gospel passage is emblazoned on the front of the cathedral because that's our liturgical life, that's our spiritual life, that's who we are. Without the cross, we wouldn't be Christian. Without the cross, we wouldn't be members of the body of Christ. We wouldn't be children of God, adopted into God's own family through death.